Romans chapter number 13 this morning. Romans chapter number 13. Turn there with me, if you will. I am seeking the Lord's will, getting back to the Gospel of John. We still have the resurrection toward the end of the book of John. I don't know, maybe the Lord's having me hold out until resurrection time when we celebrate Easter. I'm not sure. Or maybe we'll just go ahead and preach it now and then preach it again then. Amen? You can't go wrong with preaching the resurrection. But right now I just feel like that the Holy Spirit's just kind of giving me some various direction. I do enjoy preaching through a book of the Bible, just going chapter by chapter, and I love doing that, but every now and then the Lord will steer us into some various topics. Romans chapter 13, and would you stand with me? We'll begin reading in verse number 11. Romans 13, verse number 11, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." That salvation that Paul is writing about is not talking about the salvation of our souls. It's speaking of the salvation from this mess called this life, this earth that we live in. There is a salvation coming, and it's going to start when we hear the trumpet sound, and God's going to take us out of this mess. Now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Our message this morning comes from verse number 11, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. I want to speak to you this morning on sleeping disorders. Let's bow our heads and let's go to the Lord and ask that He would bless our time together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the Gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the salvation of our souls, and thank you for the promise that it is high time to awake out of our sleep. Now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Paul penned those words some 2,000 years ago. How much closer are we today? Lord, we see signs and symptoms all around us in this world. Lord, we see so many things, the perilous times. We see apathy. We see men's hearts failing them for fears. We see everything going on in the world around us that the Word of God says will take place before your return. And certainly, we are seeing it around the time of the rapture. We look forward to that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, I'm preaching to some people today. Some perhaps are not saved. Lord, would you speak to their heart and, Lord, help them to realize they need to get saved today before it's eternally too late, Lord. Lord, it is not worth the risk of ending up in hell just because it's not a convenient time to get saved today. Please speak to their hearts. But, Lord, most of who I'll be preaching to today are people that are saved. But, Lord, we need to wake out of our spiritual slumber. Lord, please help us and, Lord, enable us to speak the Word of God with boldness, with compassion, with charity. And we pray that each and every one that is here today, when we leave this place, will be glad that we came to the house of God. Meet with us, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm sure that most of you are familiar with some sleeping disorders. You may not have an ongoing sleeping disorder, but I guarantee you there is something in our sleeping habits, our sleep life, if you will, that we have had sometimes where we have struggled with one or more of these issues. Of course, the first sleeping disorder that I'd like to talk about by way of introduction is insomnia. when you need to sleep, but you just can't sleep. Sometimes that's physical. Sometimes it is emotional or mental. Sometimes if you're like me, I have a hard time just shutting my brain off sometimes. I have certain times that insomnia has been almost just, I can count on it that I'm not going to sleep. Saturday night's one of those, because a lot of times the pressure of the next day of bringing the Word of God to you, not that you're a pressure, but just the responsibility that, hey, I need to feed the flock. I need to give them the message that God has. And sometimes that's a pressure that a preacher or only a preacher knows about. And oftentimes that will lead to insomnia. I look back, there's been many times that probably most of my studying has been tossing and turning in bed instead of in front of my Bible or with a notepad or in front of my computer. A lot of it's just happened while I'm trying to sleep and just can't get my mind shut off. My wife and I, we finally, over the years, came to an agreement. You know, she's wired different than I am. She's a night owl. I'm a morning person. We made the compromise years ago that I would stay up late with her and then I would get up early with me. But, and maybe some of you ladies are like this, she's wired in a way that it's like when she's getting ready to go to bed or toward the end of the day, she has some things that her day, stuff that she thought about and stuff that she needed to talk to me about. And so I didn't understand it here. I'm wanting to just wind down, shut off the brain, and go to sleep. And so she's just telling me about all of these, you know, problems and this and that. And from my perspective, it's just like, yeah, you dump all this on me, and next thing you know, I hear her breathing in the bed next to me. She's sound asleep, and I'm wide awake. Finally, we had to talk this. I said, honey, you know, I know, I'm glad that works good for you. I want to meet your emotional needs, but listen, I don't get any sleep. So you need to talk to me about these things earlier in the day. And so she was so gracious and she accommodated that. There was one thing, however, that's connected to that, and I'm sure some of you married couples can relate to this. Sometimes if it was time to pick a fight, you know, the fight's being picked at nighttime. And once again, she falls asleep, and I'm wide awake. I remember years ago, it's finally, I don't know how many, this happened, of course, I know what you're thinking. You're the pastor. You and your wife have disagreements? We've had three. And maybe a few extra. But I don't know how many years ago it was that's the way circumstance. Hey, listen, I'm not knocking my wife. Most of it's stuff that I had coming, okay? But there was one, she brought something up one time, and she's asleep after she brought it up. I'm wide awake, and so I got kind of upset. So I thought, no, this ain't happening. And so I just turned the bedroom light on. What are you doing? It's like, if I ain't sleeping, you ain't sleeping. It worked. I'm sure that most of you know what it's like to have insomnia. How about sleep apnea? Sleep apnea. Some of you have that. I'm sure that some of you guys are nighttime Darth Vaders. And, you know, that's sometimes if you have sleep apnea and you get one of those CPAP machines, it can change your life in a positive way. I imagine once you get used to wearing that so that you can actually sleep. We went to men's retreat in Idaho years ago, and I won't mention the brother's name, but we were bunked in the same cabin. And at this camp up in the mountains of Idaho, there were some outlying cabins that the camp manager said, hey, those are open for you men, use them if you want them. But everybody pretty much stayed up near the lodge because there's like 3 feet of snow up there at this winter men's retreat. And so we're all staying up near the lodge, and I'm in the cabin with this particular brother, and he had a reputation for snoring. And I just thought, yeah, you know, I'll just try to get to sleep before him. Well, it didn't work out that way. And this brother, he snored loud. It wasn't that, if it would just been a loud snore that was basically the same sound all night long, then I can, you know, I can kind of get in the rhythm with it and I can go to sleep and get used to it. But this brother, about every 15 seconds, it would change into a brand new sound. And sometimes the brand new sound, I can remember, if you could picture me, I'm laying in the sleeping bag. It's just, I'm finally getting used to this sound. And then all of a sudden the sound changes and I'm like, what is that? I mean, we're not talking about normal snoring sounds here. We're talking about we need to call 911 or something. That's just no human being makes that particular sound. And, you know, come to find out they didn't have their sleep apnea machine, and I would much rather listen to Darth Vader all night than to listen to that. I finally, just after I tried to get used to it, I finally got my clothes on, grabbed my sleeping bag, walked out. I would have walked through 3 feet of snow barefoot just to get out to that other cabin just for the peace and quiet. And I got out there. There was absolutely nobody there. It's like, oh, I got some sleep. Next thing you know, somebody else comes into the cabin. It was somebody else that was in the same lodge cabin. I go, it got too bad, didn't it? It's like, oh, brother, you have no idea. So we had a good laugh about it and ended up getting about 17 minutes of sleep when it was all said and done, but that was better than none. Restless leg syndrome, that's a sleeping disorder. I get that from time to time. My wife has an affectionate term for it. She calls it the creepy crawlies. And sometimes I'll get it, just the nerves just won't relax, and you just it's not fun. I don't know what causes it. I don't know how to deal with it. Sometimes you just gotta plow through it. There is a sleep disorder called parasomnia, and that's the category of things like sleepwalking and sleep talking, etc. My son, bless his heart, when he was younger, he was a sleepwalker. And so sometimes he'd fall asleep in the living room and we'd say, Josh, time to go to bed. And we learned to follow him up to the bedroom because he wasn't awake. He'd be talking to you, his eyes would be open, but it's like he is not awake. And I can remember one particular time where the dresser drawer was open and he thought he was in the restroom. No! Wakes up. Anyhow, if you're watching live stream, son, I love you. We all have our stories to tell. When Sister Lynn and I were first married, she had this recurring dream that she'd go, and it was, she hasn't done it in years, but when we first got married, she would have this dream, and sometimes she would just violently raise out of the bed and go, and look across the room at like the door and go, oh no. And so I jump up, I'm ready for action. I'm grabbing for the gun. It's like somebody's in the house, and then I'd say, what? And she would like act like I'm bothering her and what, you know, interrupting her dream or sleep. She said, just go back to sleep. What? I can't go back to sleep. I'm ready for action. And she just, there's a sleep disorder. I'm getting to a message eventually here, okay? Circadian rhythm disorder. It has nothing to do with crickets. It is the disorder, like we would call it jet lag or body clock. The older I get, and now that I'm 60, I'm officially old, my body clock is way more active than it used to be. In my younger years, look, if I didn't set the alarm, If I had to get up at 5 a.m., I better set an alarm clock because I'm going to sleep till 8 or 9 if I didn't. And those were the days. I don't do that anymore. In fact, I probably don't even have to set an alarm anymore. If in my mind I know I'm supposed to be up at 5, I'm probably getting up at 3:30. That's just the way that I'm wired. My body knows when time change messes me up. More, it used to didn't mess me up at all. It didn't matter to me if we were spring, you know, an hour ahead or an hour behind, I could sleep. Not anymore. We moved the clock back an hour, and I'm waking up about the same time that I did the day before. Time change. Narcolepsy. Sleeping when you shouldn't be sleeping, such as, i.e., driving. I'm not as bad as I used to be, but I used to be a very narcoleptic driver. Driving, just the monotony of it would put me to sleep. Finally, I discovered that if the sun is beating down on the driver's side window and just kind of heating up that side of your head, we were driving to Montana. In the wintertime, it was January, I don't remember what year it was, about 15 degrees below zero. There was snow, the roads were clear, the sun was shining. Of course, everything, there's plenty of snow, so the sun's shining, it's very bright white, so it's kind of making you squint. Sun's shining down on here, the wind's just kind of blowing, just blowing snow across the road as you're driving. And we had probably about a 10-hour drive or so, and I'm driving, and next thing you know, I fall asleep. Fortunately, my wife was sitting next to me, and she was awake. And she goes, "Hey, Randy!" And so, I steered this way. I told that story. You say, it was nothing, it wasn't that big of a deal. It's never been forgotten. And it will never be forgotten, ever. If there's the potential of me falling asleep, then there is the presumption that I will always fall asleep. But there's just cause, because sometimes I get sleepy. We've had times driving back from Asheville where it's like, I can't stay awake, hon. And so we have to pull over, and she has to drive the rest of the way home. I made her a promise years ago. I said, look, if I'm struggling that bad, I'm not going to be macho and manly and put us in danger of drifting off to sleep. And so I always try to let her know, hey, I need you to drive. So I'm somewhat of a narcoleptic driver. Whether it's insomnia, restless leg syndrome, sleep apnea, rhythm, jet lag, narcolepsy. There's all kinds of physical sleeping disorders. I am sure, and I'm not going to preach them all, I'm sure that there's probably a spiritual equivalent to all of these disorders. But also, I want you to know before I get into the meat of the message here this morning is that the term sleep in the Bible can also mean something else. It can mean a reference to the physical death of the Christian. If you are a born-again believer, then the Bible refers to us as asleep rather than as dead. And there's a reason for that, because when your loved one, if they are saved and then they die, we don't treat them as dead. We don't say goodbye. We say good night, we'll see you in the morning. Jesus said in John 11, these things said he after he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Read John 11 and you'll see clearly that he is making a reference to Lazarus physically dying. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 30, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. That's a reference to the way that we live our life. There is a possibility that God can make us sick, weak, and even dead if we are saved and we continually refuse to judge ourselves and to get right with God. I am a firm believer that somebody who lives in a backslidden condition for year after year after year after year and claims to be a child of God, I'm not buying it, because the scripture makes it crystal clear that it's just not going to happen indefinitely. I don't know how long. God is a merciful God, and God is gracious, and He doesn't give us any of those timelines as far as His mercy and how long that He puts up with us. But I know one thing: if we're a child of God, there's going to be some chastisement. And according to Romans chapter number 8, if we live after the flesh, we're going to die. And so I don't care your loved one, your mom, your dad that said that they were saved. I'm not saying they weren't saved. I'm just simply saying, according to the Bible, there's some serious doubts and questions that Bible-believing Christians ought to have. If you think that you're saved and you just live wickedly out there in the world and nothing seems to bother you, and you think, hey, I'm fine, I'm living my life, doing whatever I want, and I know that I'm going to go to heaven when I die, if that is the way that you're living, you need to do a soul checkup. You need to look in the spiritual mirror of your soul and say, hey, am I missing something here? Because that is not the life of a child of God. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. The rapture could take place, and we may not die. We may get raptured out of here and not have to go through the death process. I'm going to heaven. I'm not afraid to die, but I'm a little bit concerned about how that's all going to pan out. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Once again, we don't say goodbye. We say goodnight to our loved ones. We'll see you in the morning. What are some causes of falling asleep? Well, sometimes we fall asleep because we're tired, right? Duh. That's a brilliant statement, preacher. I'm not trying to be profound. I'm not trying to oversimplify it. We fall asleep because we get tired. We're tired because maybe we haven't been sleeping. We haven't been resting in the Lord. We haven't been casting all of our care upon Him, for He cares for you. Maybe we've been bearing our own burdens because we're proud and self-sufficient. And maybe we think that God doesn't care, or maybe God hasn't been answering our prayer, so we think He's never going to answer our prayer. And we may just be one prayer away from saying, God, I need you to help bear this burden. I need you to bear it for me. And God says, okay. And He picks it up and takes it. Sometimes we're tired because of lack of sleep, or we've worked hard. Sometimes we're tired because we're old. When I was younger, we'd have family get-togethers, and all the old men were always falling asleep on the couch while everybody else is playing games and having fun and talking. You'd look over there, and there would be Grandpa or Uncle Guy, and they'd be on the couch, and their head would be nodded, and they're just falling asleep. Why? Because they got still, and they were old. And you're chuckling. I've been old for 10 years then, because when I get still and I get in my recliner, I saw a commercial the other day. I guess it's the first of the year, and so New Year's resolutions, people are exercising and working out. I saw a picture of a guy, oh, built about like me, a little chubby around the middle, and needs to exercise, and he's got his jogging outfit on, and he's sweating, and he's trying to jog, and looks behind him, and the recliner's chasing him down the sidewalk. It's like, that's how I feel. I said, hey, Lynn, you got to see this. I paused it. And she laughed. She said, that's you for sure. Sometimes we fall asleep because we just get comfortable. Boy, if I get warm, I get my belly full. I could have got 8 hours sleep last night, but it's going to put me to sleep. And sometimes we fall asleep just out of pure laziness. Proverbs 19, verse number 15 says, "Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger." What are the consequences of falling asleep? Well, obviously there's danger. I mentioned falling asleep behind the wheel and almost running off the road. And that can cause all kinds of danger and problems. I remember as a child, in fact, a couple two Wednesdays ago, I was downstairs helping out in Master Club. And I was in Christina's class, and we were talking with some of the kids, and something got brought up about like the boogeyman and the common fear. How many of you, when you were a child, had the fear of laying in your bed and you didn't want your arm to hang over the bed because you didn't know if maybe that there was a monster or something underneath the bed? Raise your hand if you've had that fear. I was expecting more. What, everybody else slept on the floor? But, you know, we were talking to the kids, and my fear, listen, my dad was a real man. And I knew that nobody's going to break into the house, nobody's going to hurt us, because my dad will take care of it. He's got guns, and he's got these big old hands, and my dad could beat up everybody else's dad. And he could out-arm wrestle everybody else's dad. My dad was the best. I mean, I'm talking about what I thought as a child. And I'm laying there in bed one time, and I'm thinking about, you know, what if somebody broke, you know, just those typical fears. And it's like, oh, dad will take care of it. And then it hit me, what if he doesn't wake up? So I got my arm back up on the bed, and I had to deal with that fear that, hey, maybe dad won't wake up and rescue us and save us. But there is danger of falling asleep. There's consequences. There's also the possibility that we may miss out on something. When we were living in Idaho and our kids were just little, we couldn't afford one plane ticket, let alone four. But one Christmas, we came out and spent Christmas with the Runyons. And so had an 85 Chevy Suburban, we drove it across the country and spent about 10 days, made it a 2-week trip, and spent 10 days with the Runyons. And then as we were getting ready to drive back home, we were visiting with the Runyon family over Christmas, and Lynn's uncle, who ran buses, tour buses, and he said, look, if you have a few minutes on your way back home, as you're going through Nashville there on 40, swing into the Grand Ole Opry and take a look at the Christmas lights. And so anyhow, we talked about it, and we thought, well, if it works out, we will. It was probably around midnight, 1 o'clock, that we were passing through, and Lynn says, I want to see the lights. And so we pulled in there. I'm telling you, it was phenomenal. And we tried to wake the kids up, and they wouldn't wake up. You know, Josh, Anna, we're trying to wake them up. They wouldn't even stir. And finally, it's just like, just let them sleep. And so we saw those just magnificent Christmas lights, but they missed out. Why? Because they were asleep and they wouldn't wake up. I wonder how many things, spiritually speaking, how many blessings, how much excitement, how many things that God wants to show us, and he's trying to show us, but we can't see it because we just won't wake up. Falling asleep can cause confusion. This is another family story that I got to tell. When I was probably in first grade, this is my family telling this. My sister, who was about 5 years older than me, she's babysitting next door. And the parents got home probably around midnight or thereabouts. Everybody else in our house was asleep. And as she came the next door neighbor was probably, the house was just as far as the wall right there. We were very close together. She came across the front driveway onto our sidewalk. She's walking up the steps, and our dog, she startles the dog, and the dog starts barking at her. She comes running into the house, and this is what she's saying. She says, "I'm scared, I'm scared." This is what my mom and dad heard. "He's dead, he's dead." So they're thinking that the little boy that she's babysitting is dead. They jump out of bed. My other sister, who fell asleep on the couch, as she comes running into the living room, "I'm scared, I'm scared." She's going, "No, no, no." And my dad, bless his heart, grabs his cowboy hat, comes running out into the living room with his cowboy hat in his hand and his skivvies. Now that's a Western man. Don't grab the britches, grab the hat. Now, if I told any of that story wrong, if my sisters are watching live stream, if I told any of that story wrong, it's because I've heard it throughout my life secondhand, because all of this happened and I was asleep. Never heard a thing. Just slept all the way through it. Confusion, missing out. How about regret? How about dropping the ball? "How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame." When we're asleep, and we shouldn't be asleep, we're going to drop the ball. We're going to have regrets. We're going to have confusion. We're going to miss out. And we're going to put ourselves and our loved ones around us in unnecessary danger. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. And the question is, what does it mean to be spiritually asleep? You can be physically awake, but spiritually asleep. Given that I have been a spiritual sleepwalker before, just kind of going through the motions, but not really awake spiritually, if you've ever been there, you recognize it in others. And I'm sure that I'm preaching to someone here this morning that needs this message and needs it desperately. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 1, "But of the times and of the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." What does it mean to be spiritually asleep? It means that we are looking around us thinking, "Oh, there's no needs. It's peace and it's safety. I can just live my life. I don't have to care about worshiping and serving God. I don't have to worry about my responsibility. I don't have to worry about lost souls around me. I can just do my thing and stay in my comfort zone, and it doesn't matter." If that's you, you're asleep spiritually and you need to wake up. There will be consequences. There will be regret. There will be danger if we fall asleep at the wheel because others are depending upon us. So how can I wake myself up? Well, we just saw here that they that sleep, sleep in the night. Probably the best thing that we can do to get ourselves awake is to shine some light. I mentioned about flipping on the light in the middle of the night and waking up my wife. I remember a time I was in high school, and I wasn't living for the Lord in my high school days, and I would go out with my friends, and sometimes I'd get home later than I was supposed to. I remember saying, I was a senior in high school, and I said, "Hey, Dad, I'm going to go hang out with my friend. We're going to I forget what I told him we were going to do. It probably wasn't the truth. I don't know. We were just going to go see what was going on." This is a little town in Idaho, Emmett, Idaho. Back in the 80s, there wasn't a whole lot going on in Emmett, Idaho. We went into town. We drove around. We cruised town, if you wanted to call it that. My favorite thing to do in cruising town, everybody wanted to ride shotgun. And so we'd call shotgun, and if ever I called shotgun and we had three, remember the time they didn't have a console in every car? You could put three people in the front. My favorite thing to do when we'd cruise town and I had shotgun is we'd see people that we know walking along the side of the road or in a car, and I'd bend down to tie my shoes, and it would make it look like my two buddy friends are all scooched up next to each other. And then the one in the middle would realize what I was doing, start hitting you in the back. "Yeah, Mitchell, stop." But we went into town. There was nothing going on. And so we came home. And I probably got home at, 10:30, 11 o'clock. And Mom and Dad were already in bed, and I just went upstairs and went in my bedroom and went to sleep. About 2 in the morning, the light switch in my room flips on. The light comes on, and I look at the door, and there's Dad standing there looking at me, and he goes, "Oh," and he just looks at me like with frustration, and I go, "What's the matter, Dad?" He says, "When did you get here?" And I go, "I don't know, 10:30, I don't know." And he just threw up his hands, turned the light off, and that was it. So I'm like, "Wow, what was that all about?" Next morning, I said, "Dad, what was that all about?" And he said, "Well, son," he said, "you don't know this, but on our back porch," we had a screened-in back porch, and he said, "I was waiting on the back porch in the dark, and," he said, "I didn't know you were home. I thought you were getting home late. And if I would have came home at 2 in the morning, Dad was opened the door. Dad was ready to knock me back down the steps. I don't mean like, belt stuff. I'm talking about man, high school kid." And he's telling me all about this, and I'm going, "Man, I'm so thankful there was nothing going on in Emmett, Idaho that night. I would not want to get punched by my dad." But when he turned on that light, it instantly woke me up out of my sleep. I was confused, and it wasn't registering. But sometimes, if we need to wake up, we just need to get some light shining. I know we can fall asleep when it's daylight, but it's a whole lot more difficult. If you've ever worked third shift, you know that it's a whole lot easier to fall asleep at night than it is during the day. The Bible here is our source of light. You know, you can set alarms, you can have wake-up calls, you can even, I've had times where I was afraid I'd oversleep, something that maybe we're going to do something early in the morning, hunting, fishing. I've had times where I slept with my clothes on because I didn't want to miss out on something. What a terrible feeling it is to wake up and to realize that we've overslept and we miss out on something. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 34 says, "Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. And I want to close with Ephesians chapter number 5. Would you turn there with me? Ephesians chapter 5. Most of what needs to be said has already been said. Most of this, if you would think about being awake physically, there's so many things that I've said here this morning that I hope you've been able to relate to. And my hope is that your particular situation, we're all different. I can, you know, you may have insomnia, or you may have sleep apnea. You may be sleepwalking. Whatever your spiritual condition is, it is my prayer that the Holy Spirit will help reveal to you that, hey, I need to wake up because God says that I need to be spiritually awake. I need to be sober. I need to be living righteous. I can't go through my life like a spiritual zombie, just going through the motions, going to church, but it not really meaning anything. What we're reading here in Ephesians 5 is pretty self-explanatory. Would you open up your heart and listen to the Holy Spirit as we read, beginning in verse number 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. No one can put that in your heart except for you. God wants us to be awake. God wants us to be living soberly and righteously. He wants us to be aware that, hey, we live in a very dark world. And yeah, lost people out there are like zombies going through the motions, but what a horrible thing it is when we as children of light are living and walking basically the same way. If you can't see a major, major difference between how you live your life and the way that lost people at work or your family, how they live their life, you need to wake up and start living for Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads and let's go to the Lord and talk to Him. Father, I want to thank you that you woke me up 40 years ago. Lord, I was so asleep. I was sleepwalking. I was endangering my life. I was endangering those around me. Lord, regrets, missing out, so many consequences from being asleep spiritually. And I know, Lord, if Christians would wake up, we would experience revival. Lord, I don't know what we should call it, but I know that the spirit and the condition of the church and our effect on the world around us would be so much greater if God's people would just wake up. Help us to shake ourselves and to get out of this spirit of slumber. In Jesus' name, amen.